Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Today we are back with our boy, Brandon Sanderson.
Mm-hmm. Close personal friend, Brandon Sando.
That's right. Starting Wind and Truth, which is book 5 of the Stormlight Archive. Big book, Dan.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
We have done the first 4 just non-continuously, so look back on our old catalog if you want to. Before we get into more stuff, I want to get us a little bit warmed up. I'm just going to jump right into it. I'm sick of the little like gifts that people give that are like the no waste gift. Actually, maybe that's not the best way. So, okay. You know how environmentalism is like a big thing, right? And so I feel like there's a lot of grifts. Very grifty stores that advertise gifts that you can give to someone in your life who is conscious about the environment.
Yes, of course.
And a lot of these things are like zero waste gifts.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
And I'm sick of getting them because they're not zero waste gifts. They're junk that you are giving me that is like aesthetically green, quote unquote.
You're saying it's only zero waste if you don't immediately throw it in the trash.
Like, it's like wooden silverware or something like that, that they're like, you can put this in your lunchbox or whatever. Metal straws, for example. Yeah. Stop giving me metal straws. Yeah. I don't use straws to begin with.
Yeah. Hold on. Because while we're here talking about straws, straws were just a bad thing that we came up with. Like straws, I think in the very small use case are good. But like, here's the problem with a reusable straw. How are you cleaning that thing? Guys, did you also buy a special little brush that would go deep? Because I don't know about you, Luke. I have, at some point in my life, acquired some like silicone reusable straws.
Okay.
These things are disgusting inside. I don't use them because it's like you look down the middle and there's clearly mold growing in the middle of this thing.
Yeah. I'll say this. There is a use case for straws occasionally.
No, I don't think so.
But it's never something that like I'm making. And so like there's not really a use case for like me having a reusable straw.
I see. Just when you go to the movies for a
Coke. Unless I'm like bringing it when I'm like, I want to get a milkshake.
Okay.
I'm going to bring my reusable straw. But then they like already put a straw. it's ridiculous. Anyway, kind of a beside the point, but also relevant. Mm-hmm. These things are all just like aesthetically green, but like the one that drives me the craziest are, well, it'll be like a lot of times it's like made out of wood and it'll just be like a toothbrush or like a spoon and fork that you can take like camping or for lunch.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, I already have spoons and forks.
Right. Right.
I already put those in my, like, I have my silverware that I put in my lunchbox when I bring. I don't need you to give me, like, recycled plastic fork.
Right, right. You're not solving a real problem.
This is now just, like, more trash. Yes. This is the opposite of no waste.
Right. Well, but Luke, here's the thing. And I feel like we're opening up a big can of worms here. I think this gets into the bigger picture of gift giving. I think this gets into the more of the philosophy of gift giving. Because I think a lot of people don't actually think, like, what would be a good gift, seriously, when they buy people gifts. Because I agree with you. I think this is a larger symptom of the root cause of people just being, like, sold gifts to buy people rather than seeking out gifts to buy people. Does that make sense, the distinction here? Because this is also the thing with like a gift card for somebody. Like, if we've already talked about this on the pod, stop giving gift cards. Just give them a nice note with the money in it, because it's just more useful that way.
Okay, yes. This actually, I think that this was a long time ago. We did a warm up where you were anti gift card and I was like kind of pro gift card. But I mean like just straight cash is also
good. Right. But you can say something with you can write a note that's like, hey, I heard you like this thing. Maybe you can use this cash for this thing. If not, if I'm off on this.
Yeah.
Just do whatever. It's cash. You could do whatever you want with it.
Yeah. Great gift. And phenomenal gift.
And I feel like, Luke, when somebody gives you trash, because you get trash that's also not environmentally aware, right? Like, I get trash as a gift. Sure. I'm not going to call anybody out here, but I've definitely received trash as a gift. Okay. Yeah. In my life, I'm not going to say how recently either, because I don't want anyone to feel self-conscious about a gift they've given me. Any gift you give me, trust me, I appreciate the sentiment. It's great. But sometimes I get trash. That's just the reality. Sometimes you give me something that I'm like, I will be throwing this away because I don't want to move it. It will stay in my house until I move. And then I'm like, yeah, I never used it and I would never use it. So it's going in the trash. Okay.
Right.
Now that we've cleared that up. Like, I think the marketing and advertising of this kind of trash is infuriating in the way that I think you're hitting at here, because it's not actually solving the problem they're claiming to be solving. It's actually just adding to the problem, but they can market it like you're doing a good thing. So you get to have the warm and fuzzies about it. Ah, man. Is that worse though, Luke? Like, is it a net negative or is this still like slightly better? Do you know what I mean? What are we thinking about this for the calculus? When we do the utilitarian calculus, do you think you would have gotten trash that was worse before?
I think it's worse actually. Ooh, the new thing, because these are always like small additional things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? These are always like little small gifts. They're like, I saw this and I thought of you, and it could be like a good add-on to my like main gift.
I see. Whereas before these kind of like environmentally aware things existed, if somebody knew you were environmentally conscious, they would be like, well, I should just not. Maybe I won't wrap this in plastic, or maybe I'll do something else. But now they're like, oh, I can buy him a consumer product. I can engage with the market and meet his needs. Perfect. I love both of those things. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I think you might be right. Here's the problem, Luke. How do you counter this? Because there are some, I will say there are definitely products that are like the good guy version of this, right? There are definitely products that are like actually making a environmentally friendly version of a product.
I understand what you mean. The thing with those, which I love,
mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily know like a specific example of them, but like all in on the problem with those is that it requires effort on the gift giver's part to like seek them out.
Okay.
And here's my, I think what we need to get to, because you're right that we do need to just bring this back to like gift giving as a concept. Mm-hmm. This might be a hot take. We need to shrink our conception of who we're giving gifts to.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Like close family, like immediate family, single gift.
I do need to push back on this, Luke, because I do have close friends that every year we like buy each other a gift, like a New Year gift thing. And we have limits on it. It's like, it's got to be relatively cheap. But
you do one gift though, am I correct?
And this is exactly where I think we need to hone in, because the quantity of gifts is not it anymore, guys. It's not it. I almost always do one gift per person. And I think about it for like 2 months where I'm like, okay, what's the thing that is going to be good for this person? I'm not buying just a bunch of stuff. Now,
right.
I will say I'm not great at gift giving. Like, I think I'm pretty good at it, but I will. And I think that some people are really good at it. And some people are good at finding multiple things. I think you can give multiple things if that like really inspires you. However,
but it can never be like, I need an add-on because
they expect you to have
$40 and I need to be like around the $50 range. No, $40 is fine.
I think monetary value of gifts, throw it out the fucking window. I don't care about any of that. Yeah. When I get gifts for people, I'm really just like, what would be good? Is it less than $100? One, two, is it good for them?
Yeah.
That's it. That's a gift. How do we, Luke? This is our call to action. This is our call to action now to our listeners. Listeners out there, change the world. Go out, change the world. You know, we're probably not gonna get many ad sponsors, Luke, with takes like this. But I will say, I'm gonna give a short little hot take before we get into it that we'll update later this year. Started my new year by watching the Fast and the Furious movies with my partner.
Ooh, okay.
We're halfway through right now, so I'll update you when we finish the series.
Very good. I'm excited for that.
I'll give a full book report in, I don't know when we're gonna finish all the other five.
You already have. I'm impressed.
We're halfway, actually. So
you've seen a lot.
We've seen a lot of the
very good. Okay,
bald guys running around and driving. Okay, let's. Anyway,
that's something to look forward to. You know, it's something that we have been looking forward to, Dan. Is
Stormlight,
Wind and Truth.
Stormlight, Wind and Truth.
Stormlight. That's right. Okay, where did we stop, Dan?
End of day two.
Went up to end of day two. That's right.
Hold up, but Luke. I just have to start us with something here, because it's been a little while. It's been a little while.
Yeah.
Since we've read these books. I'm opening this thing saying, like, what the fuck is any of this stuff? Did you have this?
Did you do any kind of recaps?
I tried, and I went on the wiki and was like, I need the summary. Give me the summary of what's gone. And it was too long. I was like, I don't have an hour to read what's gone on in Alethi or wherever we are. Like, in this Roshar, on this... I don't have the time to read all the backstory again. And so I just went into it like, well, I'm going to trust Brandon here. I'm going to let Brando take the wheel. And I'm just going to say, I'm going to just read the words and hopefully they'll make sense eventually.
Yes. I think that's somewhat similar to what I did. So let's say if you are listening to this, and you are wanting a podcast that breaks down all the details of the Cosmere and stuff like that, this isn't the one for you. I'm sure there are others.
I don't think that, Luke, I hate to break it to you, but I don't think we're going to get a new listener like 5 episodes into a series.
I think that we are. I think we've got plenty of new listeners for this episode. The other good thing about this, actually, is like you, I have forgotten a lot about the previous books. But it's starting to come back to me.
Yeah.
However, I forget my opinions on characters. And so I think that this is actually a unique asset, because now I can like come in kind of fresh where I'm like, I remember this character. I don't remember if I dislike them or not. So
Okay. I love that. We're going
to
see
and
how
I have not listened to our previous... I have not listened to our previous podcasts on this, so there's a chance that I hated a character 2 books ago, and I'm going to be like, I'm kind of into him now.
We're going to find the consistency in Luke's character over time, to be like, how has Luke grown and changed between books?
Right, either that, or how has this character grown between books? Damn.
Sure, yeah.
Could be.
And I will say, to sort of wrap up with my what is going on, I think Brandon's got me back into it. I trusted Brandon.
Okay.
And now I'm like, okay, yeah, I do kind of remember what's going on. I don't remember a ton of the details of the last book.
Yeah.
But I do kind of, I am like back in it. Like I do kind of know what these things mean. So.
Nice.
So yeah.
Nice. Okay. So we're speaking with authority on this episode.
I think so. I mean, we're making a podcast about it, so we need to at least have some authority, or at least we need to speak with some authority.
Yes. Okay. Good, good, good. All right. I have a bunch of, as is tradition, yeah. I've got mostly small notes. Let me do one big one actually.
Oh,
before we,
yeah.
Before we get too much into it. So this is a long book.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
What we've done on this for this episode is a quarter of the book, and it's something like 300 pages.
So it's a lot of reading.
Somewhere in that range, I will say we gotta. It's time that Brandon gets like an editor. It's too long. It's a little too long with not a ton happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to start out with a little bit of a critique here.
I wonder about this because I have found myself agreeing with this. And the thing that I've wanted to be cut is sometimes the like internal monologue of somebody having like a character growth moment. It feels a little too frequent for me. It feels a little bit too like,
yeah,
like especially with Kaladin. Like we know Kaladin, you're really growing a lot, and you're really living in the moment, and you're having a good time, and you're really proud of your whole team, and that's really great, and I love that for Kaladin. I knew that already. We kind of got that wrapped up, bud. Yeah. We didn't need to hear it multiple times.
The other thing that I'll say is that. You'll know this, Dan, but like I've been doing a lot of like scientific writing, mm-hmm. right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Journal articles. And like one of the most important things is to be extremely concise.
Yeah.
With these. And so there's a lot of like, it's kind of like where my brain is currently at, yes. with like reading and writing. And so there's like huge swaths of this where like things happen, but not like meaningfully.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we could just cut this whole like trip.
Wow. Wow. Luke, you might as well just have Brandon tell you a one sentence summary of the book. Be yeah. like, who wins
give me one
and
sentence.
Who fights?
That's right. That's right. That's a little bit of, I'm being a little bit extreme and hyperbolic, but Just gotta get my critique out there first, so that we can get into the fun stuff.
I agree. I will say, speaking of big books that may or may not need to be as big as they are, I want to start us all the way in the prologue.
Okay, good.
Firstly, I think I've been consistent in this throughout. I love that these books always start with the same scene. And I love that every time we learn a little bit more about what's going on before the events of this book with the like assassination of the king. I love that.
Oh,
I
yeah.
love it.
Yeah.
Great literary device. Well done, Brandon. However, what's the Gavilar is the king, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Gavilar is trying to like usurp the heralds and become an immortal herald. And he's looking at these swords and he's like, oh, I really want to be one of these guys. What do you say, Stormfather? You want to make me one? How about it? And Stormfather's like, nah, you got to say the words. And the guy's like, I just really want to fight with a cool sword. Was that it? And the Stormfather's like, that's not it. And at one point, he's like, the words are in the book, The Way of Kings, right? This is Gavilar. Gavilar says, the words are somewhere in the book, Way of Kings, right? And Stormfather's like, yep. Okay, great. Let's start reading out loud, folks. It's not that yeah. long a book. Just read the whole thing out loud or recite it. You have it memorized.
Yeah. It is funny because like the Stormfather actually plays along with this more than I would have expected him to.
Yes.
because it he does kind of imply that if he just gets the words
right
correctly and verbalizes them, it'll work.
It seems like a passcode.
But I would think it would be like you have to like mean them.
Right.
And you have to like find the words within yourself.
Yeah, which is it seems like that's how it's been for all the Radiants so far who've been like
yeah.
It yeah, it's not just the literal words, like you have to feel it. It has to come from your soul. I don't know.
Especially the first one. Especially the first guy.
Right. Come on. But the-
which I mean I don't know. I get this is kind of a weird scene because like the Stormfather is kind of saying the same thing, but then also he's like, if you find it in the Way of Kings, it's in there.
Keep looking.
Take a look.
Keep looking. And yeah, maybe now
it's between chapters 1 and 10.
It starts with a P. I feel like you might be all right. I feel like the Stormfather might be manipulating Gavilar because we see at the end that he's been lying to him about stuff and Gavilar's like, what? Mm-hmm. You could do that? Crazy. And I feel like maybe the Stormfather is just trying to get Gavilar to read Way of Kings more because he's like, you're not really doing it right. I wish you were being a little bit better with this whole thing. I think you need to read this more.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's giving him summer reading. I'm like, I hope you do it.
He's like trying to force character growth.
Yeah, right, exactly. Because he's regretting his decision to sort of attach himself to Gavilar. Yeah.
A little book club between Stormfather and Gavilar. What'd you think of chapter 7? I thought it was a great passage in there. A real moral lesson. I have, okay, are you ready for a small note on my part?
Yeah.
Kind of near the beginning?
Yeah, of course.
So near the, Kaladin's going on a trip with to Shinovar, little backpacking trip. So he's got to pack a bag, right? And so he says something of like, I forget the guy's name, but there's the like quartermaster that does stuff that packs all the bags. And he's like, yeah, I got him to do it because he's just the best at packing them.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knows all the where to put it, how to fit it all in there. It's a huge mistake.
Agreed. 100% agreed.
Listen, you can get them to make you your list. But like, it's a long trip. You're going to have to put them back in there. You gotta be the one to pack it the first time so that you know how it fits.
Yes.
You know what you can fit in there. Otherwise, it's going to be a nightmare.
Yes.
The next, every morning when you're packing it up, you're like, how did he? It's like an extra hour because you're trying to figure out how it fits in. Huge mistake.
Luke, also, that's definitely the biggest problem here. Another problem with this strategy, you're setting up camp your first night. Fuck, where's my toothbrush?
Mm.
I have to dig through this whole pack because I don't know where it is. And, turns out it was in the outside pocket, and I just emptied out the entire main compartment of my ruck. Shit. Wish I had a note telling me where everything was, so I didn't have to do that. Now I've also got to fit this stuff back in here, using, like, magic, because it's so densely packed. Yeah. This is bad. This person needs to be packing bento boxes, not like rucksacks. Mm-hmm. Something that you don't have to put it back in when you're done.
Although I guess if he's packing consumables, you gain space as you eat or whatever.
Sure.
I guess, but probably not enough.
No. And you got to pack your trash out.
Especially if he's using a bear canister.
Right, exactly. You put your trash in there. That's, come on.
Come on. Okay.
Okay, actually.
This is another one that's.
What? We're talking about packing, so I got to talk about somebody else who's done some packing here.
Okay.
Adeline? With all these swords? What? Okay. Listen. Guys, listen. I can understand that he's really into fashion. Okay, and so he has to bring a lot of outfits. The number of weapons that he personally brought. You're not an expert in all of these weapons, guy. A part of me is like, I get it. You're not using shard blades anymore because they're sort of like dead spren, and it feels weird to turn them into a sword and kill people with it. I get that. But you don't have to then say, I need to make up for my lack of a shard blade by bringing every other kind of blade in existence on my trip, like out for a diplomatic mission.
Right.
There's no way he's good with all those things. At one point, he throws a mace at one of the, like, what are those guys called?
The
fused. Is that it? But it's a different one. Anyway.
The heavenly ones.
He throws a mace at one of the heavenly ones. Why do you have that? You're a swordsman. You trained with the blade. You've trained in the art of the blade. Are you going to be like, oh, I'm in a fight. Let me rustle through this chest to find my mace because that's what's going to... No, come on. Why? Somebody needs to have a talk with this kid about, like, effective packing. Because look at, they had to leave people behind that probably would have been helpful in this fight because they wanted to bring his big chests of swords and whatever the fuck.
Yeah, this was a lot because, like, you're right that Adeline is, like, super into fashion in a way that, like, I feel like initially was a critique, and it at some point kind of grew into, like, actually this kind of thing is important in a way.
Right.
And Adeline himself, despite being somewhat foppish, is still really good.
Yeah.
This one is just like, this was just a mistake. This was just dumb.
Like, I get it's funny. I get it. I get you're a goofy guy. But, like, bring somebody else with you. Bring somebody else who doesn't want to sit on a boat for 2 weeks instead of your big crate of swords. Or just be like, hey, Maya, are you cool with being a shard blade, like, occasionally?
Well, he can't have Maya. They can't have shard blades in Shadesmar. Regardless.
Quote, wait. Okay.
Because the Spren are there.
How do they activate the Oath Gate then? Because I thought that's how...
I think that's only in the physical realm. Otherwise, when they're in Shadesmar, they're just like the big Spren boys, you know, that they have to negotiate with.
Is that... Okay, maybe that's it. Because I just remember... Shallan having two shard blades, and I thought she was in Shadesmar when she used it to activate the Oath Gate.
It might be true. This is one where the Don't Call It a Book Club podcast is not the details of the cosmos.
Yeah, podcast. I will say I think you're correct. I do think you're right that you can't have a shard blade in Shadesmar because they're the Spren, and they're only swords when they can form in the physical world. So I think you're right. Regardless, guys, you only need like two swords tops.
Yeah. Okay. Can we talk about Shallan actually for a second since we're like here with her and Adeline?
Yeah.
Shallan is the one where I'm like, I kind of like Shallan. And I can't remember if I used to dislike her or not.
Okay, why do you like Shallan? Because I'd be curious to hear if you like her.
I don't know.
I
just think it's fun. The one thing that I will say, I think the changing personalities thing is a little bit too sharp. It's like too sharp of a different person.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Do you know what I mean by sharp? Like,
yeah, like they talk to each other. It's not like she like can understand that it's all her.
There's too strong of a differentiation. I would like it if it was like a little bit more normal.
Well, Luke,
you know what I mean?
I mean, I know what
but
you're
I like
saying.
It in general.
I just don't feel like it can be more normal because this is just like how I feel like she's grown into this over time. Like she started off pretty normal. And then she's added these characters and developed them into their own thing. It's sort of like the creep from our last book, if you remember, where he created a fake person.
Right.
And at first he was kind of normal. And then he created a fake person in the world. And Shallan kind of has done this, where Radiant, she like fleshed out to be a full different person. Same thing with Vale.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's unnerving.
I mean, I guess
it's unnerving for me.
I get. Yes. I guess it works because like it actually provides her with a like advantage.
Yes.
Because she can actually, as we've seen in this section, actually like produce split-offs.
Right. Right.
That are illusions that are starting to have a little bit of weight to them, which is cool.
Pretty cool. I'm
into it.
I think we've talked about this a little bit, so we don't need to go to detail here. I do think if you're Adeline, I don't know if I can be married to you. If you have three separate people that live in you and only one of them is like, it wants to be married to me. Because I think at one point, like Vale wasn't really about Adeline. I think if I remember correctly,
she was about Callie.
Yeah, one of her personalities wanted to date somebody else. And if you have the excuse of like, oh no, that was just Vale. But it's like, hey, yeah, but Vale is like you a third of the time. I don't know if we could do that, hon. I get you're saying not cheating, but like it feels kind of like cheating, girl.
It still kind of is, actually. Yeah, yeah. That'd be a tough one for Adeline.
It sounds like they've worked it out, though. It's their relationship. It sounds like they've talked it over. You know, as long as they both agree, then good on them. Have fun, kids. small note here, real quick, about Shallan.
Uh-huh.
Are we laying down in a shower ever? How do we feel about this?
So, okay, the shower thing is a very interesting idea because I feel like now, like, Shallan and Adeline are royalty.
Yes.
And like can take baths whenever they want, presumably.
Sure.
And like can probably have people giving them massages and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it feels like they're overdoing the relaxation of the shower a little bit.
Well, Luke, hold on though.
I think it's interesting because like,
you're forgetting about the codes.
Okay.
Because the codes are like strict soldier sort of like ethics and like how to behave at war. I don't know if Adeline can go and get like massages whenever he wants and be like doted on. It feels sort of like they're sort of ascetic.
Okay. Can you take a bath?
Go hit your point.
Tell me if I'm wrong on this.
Yeah.
I feel like our culture is like the relaxing thing is the bath.
Yes, no doubt. No doubt. Luke, you're forgetting something though, and that is that they are occupying a space they haven't built. I don't know if there is a bath present in this room.
But they have but baths are very common.
You're saying they could bring up a tub.
I'm saying that like they live and like are used to warm baths, I think.
Yeah, but Erythiru, this was created before the invention of bath. Showers only.
Shower came first in Erythiru, however we're pronouncing it. I will say the shower nozzle, the temperature control, that's a step up from what I'm used to. So that one I'm here for.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. It's too bad they didn't give them the room with the jacuzzi in it, frankly.
Yes. Here's what I'm thinking. I feel like it's probably like a hotel room where it's like, okay, but this isn't my shower. And like, and it has a little bit more room in it. And so it feels like more of a relaxing thing. Whereas like my shower at home, it's like, this is for cleaning my body.
Yeah.
But the shower in the hotel room.
That's for comfort. It's built for comfort.
I'm on vacation and it's just a different vibe.
Luke, I appreciate where we took this discussion, but I want to take it right back to my original question.
Okay.
Are we laying down in the shower though? Because she lays down in the shower and I don't care how comfortable the shower is. I can never imagine myself laying on the floor in a shower. And I don't know if that's because I feel like the floor of a shower is dirty. But even though, Luke, and this is the wild thing. I have a bathtub that's also a shower. I have no qualms taking a bath in my bathtub. However, if I took a shower first, I would assume that the floor of my shower is dirty and I couldn't take a bath afterwards, at least for a while, because the floor is dirty because I've been standing on it when I was taking my shower.
Okay. Okay. I think that that's one part of it. I think the main reason that I would not lay down in the shower is because how Shallan has presented it as like a relaxing thing where like you're laying down in a warm rain.
Yes.
But that's not really what it is, because like a warm rain that's comfortable in this scenario implies like kind of a drizzle.
Yes.
Like not a ton of water is coming at you. But a shower, it's like this is a lot of water. It's too much water for your face.
Yeah.
And now it's really uncomfortable.
Right.
That's my issue.
Yeah, I agree with you here. I don't want to get my face constantly hit with water. Also, I don't know. I just don't want to lay on the floor of a shower.
I know. They also do some funny business in the shower.
Yeah.
Which famously
doesn't work. Is great.
It doesn't work. Yeah.
Sounds great.
Which they probably learned about, but it wasn't on. Brandon didn't write about.
No.
I forgot about the shower.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about relationships, I want to talk briefly about Yasna and Wit's relationship.
Ooh, we need to.
And my one main note is that it's kind of funny to me how just like banal it is, and like the problems that they have are.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like this ancient being and Yasna, who is like world renowned,
like a genius,
and like first and like queen and first of the Radiance, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, the mattress. We have different preferences in mattresses. And just like their little fight, the little things that they have like issues with are just so normal.
Okay, I actually took something very different away from this, because it feels to me like these are two people who are like don't have a lot of equals in this world. And when I say equals, I mean people that they can connect with in the same way. And it feels like they're sort of the most equal to each other on this world in terms of being able to connect. And this is like the only reason why they're in a relationship at all is because of the like companionship they find in the equality. Because the issues they have feel like big red flag issues of like Yasna's like, Wit will never speak honestly with me. And like, he doesn't seem to actually take me that seriously. And also they like can't connect physically at all. Like they probably should talk about that and be like, maybe we shouldn't be in a physical relationship and we should be just good buddies instead of trying to like, I don't know. It seems like they're forcing something here.
Well, I agree with this. And this is kind of a second note that I have, which is, something that Yasna is basically like, she realizes that he can never like actually see her as an equal, mm-hmm. basically is kind of what it boils down to. Yeah. And I'm assuming that she always knew this, but it's kind of like, well, yeah, you're like, he's basically a god,
yeah,
who is thousands of years old.
Right.
And so it's like, it's giving me the ick. Like, I realize your point about, like, people that don't have a ton of equals in this world.
Yeah.
And I definitely think that's true of Wit. And, like, because, like, he is a singular person.
Mm-hmm.
And Yasna obviously is, as we've heard, at least, like, the smartest person and has not really... But, like, she can find someone much closer to herself than Wit.
I wonder about this, actually, because I think there's a few complicating factors here. I imagine at one time Wit was just like a person, right? At one time Wit wasn't a thousand, like an immortal weird guy that bounces around. At one time he was just a person. And so there is this world, yeah, where like Yasna, like maybe Yasna is sort of like potentially becoming what Wit is. Maybe there is a future where Yasna is like able to be what Wit is, and that is like possible. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe they aren't as unequal as it seems. Now, I think the inequality comes from the fact that Wit's just like breadth of experience is so much beyond Yasna's, and he's not really willing to like share a lot of that, it seems. He's just sort of like, oh, you're kind of cute on this one world. Now I've got to go run this weird magic spell that I can't even explain to you to see if somebody took some of my memories away. Let me just go do right. that and not explain any of it to you because, like, well, you know, you're gonna die, so. It's weird.
The whole thing is just weird. Like, it feels condescending in a way yeah. that I can't fully explain.
I mean, it's all consensual, right? Like, they're both agreeing to this.
Yeah, 100%.
It just feels... It feels like they shouldn't be doing it. It feels like they both are yeah. smart enough that they should be like, we shouldn't do this.
I don't like it, and I'm glad they're stopping. It's...
Yeah, yeah.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't do that, guys. Okay, I actually want to talk about this idea of being a singular person, because...
Okay.
Brandon put in a scene where Syl is trying to get some books from a librarian and practice writing.
Mm-hmm.
She does this. She writes a letter using a really, really lightweight pen. She writes a letter on a piece of paper and is like stoked about it. And this librarian is like, great. That's like what a 4-year-old can do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I want to take a moment here. So Brandon uses this so Kaladin can be like, hey, listen here, bully. I know what's really going on. Check yourself, because this is not yeah. productive. And then everybody clapped. Okay? I just want you to imagine the gall of somebody bullying Kaladin Stormblast and his spren, who is the daughter of the Stormfather. Imagine being a person in this culture bullying yeah. either of them. Can you imagine it? Because I read this and was like, no. No one would do this.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. Very confident, I guess.
This is like the closest you have equivalent to like a god. Somebody who has done countless heroic things for you and your family and your nation. Who is constantly sacrificing himself and his well-being for you. and everyone right. around you. And that's like the legend of him. Everybody knows this about him. And you're bullying his spren for doing something.
Who also is a delight.
Who's amazing and who has done something that no one has ever seen any spren do before, ever.
And not only that, but she's also being a delight while
and
doing.
She's having a great time. What? This person needs to explode. I feel like this person would explode if they existed because it doesn't work. Like, their mind would not work.
We cannot have. Listen, the library is a delightful place. We cannot have this person in the library anymore.
The only, literally the only way I can imagine this being real is if Kaladin and Syl come by like every day to annoy this lady.
Yeah.
That's the only way I can, yeah. If she's just so desensitized to them and they're constantly like pulling pranks on her that this is her only form of recompense, because otherwise how is anyone bullying these two people?
Yeah.
I get it that we needed to have that moment where Kaladin was like, I know how to deal with a bully. But geez, guys, come on.
Gee willikers. Oh, man.
And how nobody else in the library is like, did you really just say that? Are you kidding me?
You know, everyone else is like, finally, someone said something to Brenda.
No, you have to think that everyone else is like, is Brenda having a stroke right now? Because, yeah, she's mean to us and she bullies us all the time. She's not blind.
Right. I don't know. Golly. I don't know what to tell you.
Ridiculous.
Get her out of here.
Get her out.
Okay. I have actually something that's kind of big picture.
Yeah, let's look at the big picture here.
So we have a little competition coming up.
Mm-hmm. Just a little one.
A little one-on-one. I don't know, game of horse or something.
Yeah, slam dunk contest. Free throws.
And we keep hearing about like the rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's like a loophole.
Yeah.
But he said he wasn't going to do the loophole, but now it's like a new version of him, so he can do the loophole if he wants. Mm-hmm. And the loophole is basically that, like, by Alethi law, if you have the capital, you have the kingdom or something like that.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, the worst, we got to get some lawyers.
Yeah.
In here.
Correct.
Because clearly, Odium has lawyer brain,
mm-hmm.
and he's running circles around you guys.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You got to get someone else with lawyer brain in here, because Wit, I don't think, has it.
Absolutely not.
What you have to realize is that lawyer brain allows you to say whatever you want.
Yeah, lawyer brain words don't matter.
You can convince someone that the plain text of something means the opposite.
Correct.
Okay?
Correct.
And so you need to do this. You get somebody in here that's like, oh yeah, this is like... figure something out, okay? Just figure it out. Because the things that Wit keeps saying, it's like, okay, so like this agreement doesn't make any sense then.
So wait, this doesn't actually mean anything then, huh?
Wit's like, one of the more recent ones is that in case Dalinar is gone for this, because he's going to go on this little trip.
Yeah.
He's like, well, now there's rules where if Dalinar, like, you know, if he did something, then it would be like this other thing. But since he just might not show up, that might mean like whatever this thing means. And it's like, okay, none of this was, I don't know if this was in the original text of the agreement. I feel like probably not. But you're just making stuff up.
Right.
Okay? Make stuff up on our side. Right. Make stuff up that benefits us.
Especially, yeah, the definition of controlling a capital, so up for interpretation. Like, hey.
Just change it. Just change it in the next few days.
Right. He got to change who was running his whole shit. He got to change the person.
You know what? Our Supreme Court has actually reinterpreted this recently. We took a look at the text and we found that actually gods can't control land.
Right.
And so we get it all.
So it's actually, you're not even able to control any of it. So there's not even
literally, you could do this. You could do this. It would work.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I feel like, yeah.
It's nonsense.
This is the problem that they haven't developed a strong political system, I think, at least in the Alethi Empire, because it's just, they've just been relying on kings and princes to interpret the laws. And like, right. You need that branch. You need that judicial branch to be like, guys, we need you to take another look at this. We need you to take another swing at this one. I know we wrote this down a while ago and I don't want to, my writing hand's tired. I don't want to do any more writing. I need you to just say that it says something else.
It's not really working for our needs anymore, so right. Let's just pretend it means this other thing.
Right. It's all made up anyway, so
as we're learning actually in our real
world. Let's go ahead and just leave that for now.
We'll
put a plug in that big old aluminum plug right in that. And speaking of which, I want to just get into something a little silly. There is a chapter in here that had a few phrases that I was just loving. And I'm going to hit you with some of those phrases real quick. So,
okay.
They're checking in with the sibling and they're like, hey, we're not going to get attacked here in Erythru or whatever it's called, right? And sibling's like, nah. They'll go unconscious if they show up because my beats will drive them mad. And I'm just like, oh, sick, dude. Hell yeah. So sick.
That's pretty nice. That's pretty good.
In the same chapter, Navani is like, Dalinar, you need to talk to Adolin. And Dalinar's like, I would, but Adolin just keeps throwing it back at me. And I'm like, throwing it back? Your son's throwing it back at you, Dalinar. Uh-oh. He's got those cakes.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
I just, some of the phrasing in that chapter specifically was really working for me. Good job, Brandon. That's writing.
Nice. Good stuff. That is writing. I want to say, the sibling rocks.
Yeah. Very cool.
Come on. Sibling. Hey, Stormfather, could you be a little bit more like sibling? Because sibling's awesome.
Take some notes, please, Stormfather.
Yeah. Those are good phrases. There's one line actually that I have written down that made me genuinely like laugh out loud.
Uh-huh.
Out of surprise. And it's not a good line.
Okay. Yep.
I forget the exact context, but Gavinor,
yep,
who is Dalinar's grandson,
yes,
who was stuck in the capital of the kingdom, yep, when the queen and stuff was like doing weird things, and he's super depressed. Because his parents are dead and he got tortured and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he's talking to Lyft. And I forget what Lyft says, but Lyft says something about her, like, childhood or something.
Yeah.
And Gavinor says, quote, sadly, my mother gave me to Voidbringers to be tormented and killed. And, like, just, I forget the exact context of it, but the way he said it, I was just like, literally in bed reading and just like cackled for a second.
Right, because just the comparison of what he was saying is very good. Yeah.
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 Yeah. I wish I had wrote down more of the context for it, but that line, if you remember it, it hits.
It hits good. So it feels like they got obviously outmaneuvered here with their like troop positioning.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to figure out like, why did they get so badly dunked on with this stuff? Obviously the like fused that are going through the oath gates is something unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
But like the ship thing, the blockade being broken is like, that was always an option. That was always like maybe gonna happen.
Right. Okay.
And I feel like, here's what I mean. I feel like conquering a nation's capital, regardless of the outcome for this like little tournament or this little challenge they're doing, conquering a nation's capital is like a huge blow to that nation. Like the capital is an important spot. It's pretty easily defensible, probably. And as soon as the like, from what I understand, after the contest, everything sort of freezes where it is.
Yeah.
So, like, if they conquer your capital and then everything freezes, they still have your capital, guys. You just don't have that anymore. So, like, why do you care about, like, a little bit of territory? And like, how do you again, we need lawyers in here, because how did you even define those borders in the first place? Like, if they step across a line somewhere, is that their territory? Like, the rules don't make sense. I don't understand the rules. They should have explained the contract to everybody. What does this mean?
Right. Because also part of their reasoning for like not worrying about the capitals to begin with is that if they went and conquered the capitals, but they don't have like support, then the capitals would just be like overtaken again.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But like if they have the capital when everything freezes, even if you don't have this law, you still like can't retake the capital would be my interpretation.
That's what it feels like, Luke. That's what it feels like based on what we've heard about their interpretation of the law. I think they need to talk to Odium again and be like, hey, how are you interpreting this, by the way? Because we need to be on the same page here.
Right. Because it is, like, it's all about interpretation. I mean, it's also kind of not all about interpretation, because in a way, like, Odium can break the rules and just like kill everyone, as Wit says, mm-hmm. but he opens himself up to retaliation from like other gods.
Yeah.
But that doesn't really like help them.
Correct.
And also, like, I don't know how Odium knows that.
Right.
Like, what opens him up to it? Is there a judge?
Who's our third party? Who's our third party that is validating and enforcing this contract?
Yeah, yeah. Who's like, okay, Odium kind of broke the rules, but not all the way. So this god over here gets a free throw or something.
They get one extra day. They get one extra day before the competition. To practice their juggling.
Yeah, who's doing
or whatever.
That? I don't get it. Because it seems right now like Wit is just winging it.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, Luke, okay. There's a lot of talk here about like, how are we going to win? How are we going to win? Why did we not think about this before? How are we going to win? Fair talk. Because great question, mm-hmm. first of all. Second of all, they didn't define what kind of a contest this was.
Right, which is crazy.
Just get really good at a really obscure thing and be like, oh, sorry, I thought we were street juggling. I thought that's what the contest was, so that's what I practiced. Are you good at contact juggling? Oh, you're not. Oh, wow, weird. Well, good luck. Anyway, check this
Actually,
out.
Actually, as we've discussed, this contract is bound by Alethi law, and technically... In our nation, the word contest means whoever's name sounds closest to Dalinar wins.
Get the lawyers in here. It's actually a talent show, and the judges are all a Lethe. So good luck.
I'm doing nonsense. Okay, I'm doing whatever I can do to make sure that we win this.
They also don't know what it is. They don't know. Like, they haven't defined what it is. It's not clear if it's going to be a battle.
Who does? Well, does Odium know what it is?
I feel like he does. And if that's the case, oh, dude. What is this? What is this? I feel like here's the thing. Here's what's happened. Okay? The Stormfather's been like, hey, you got to get him to agree to a contest. You got to get him to agree to a contest. And Dalinar's been like, okay, like, I trust you on this one because you're a big, scary monster and you're showing me cool visions. We'll get that to happen. And then Dalinar does it and he's like, okay, what does that mean? And the Stormfather's like, I don't know. We just had to do it. I was just told we had to do that. So now it's up to you. And they're like, well, I don't know what it means.
It's bad. It's not a great scenario, I think.
Oh, my God. I just can't wait for this to be over, honestly. It's too confusing for me.
I know. It's very confusing. We'll get there.
Yeah.
The last note that I have... actually does clear up some confusion for me that I have.
Okay.
I'm going to take us to the land of the Shin.
Yes. Shinovar.
And we finally figure out why they worship rocks.
Oh yeah.
And I think the reason is kind of fun. So Wit tells us, because he was there, mm-hmm. that the people that moved from the previous world that came to Roshar
uh-huh.
brought pieces of their holy land as rocks.
Uh-huh.
And now, just after thousands of years, that has transitioned to just the Shin worship rocks in general now.
Right. Right.
And I think that's kind of fun. The thing I will note is that I don't know enough about Mormonism, but I feel like there's probably a funny irony thing here.
Uh-huh.
About Brandon Sanderson being a Mormon.
You're saying Brando might be like doing a little bit of self-deprecating humor here, or like at least a reference.
I feel like yes, because it's kind of implying like religion just gets, or like the meanings of things just become kind of meaningless after a time.
Or they like warp in ways that are really different from the original like intent when they started.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. And again, I don't know enough about Mormonism, but there's something there. I'm sure.
I do know Mormonism is pretty young, relatively.
Right.
So on the one hand, it could be a critique of every other religion as well.
Oh,
where he's like, okay. He's like, us Mormons, we still remember why we were doing all this stuff.
The newer the better on religion.
That's what I always say. Oh boy. Yeah, well, maybe we'll get some more hints at that. Maybe we'll have to read the Book of Mormon next, Luke, to see if Brando's doing something with that.
That's right.
I don't know about that, but what I do know...
In the original gold plates.
Right. The way it was intended. Well, Luke, we can talk about that offline and see if that's going to be our next book. But in the meantime, Luke, we got some reading to do, all right?
We do.
We're going to read the next quarter. We'll be about halfway through, probably around the end of day 4, is my guess, based on how this has been going.
Yeah.
But about halfway through the book, we'll bring the hot takes.
And be the dumb nerds.